is buy now, pay later on borrowed time. Angela Itzikowitz, executive, Ira Gunning, consultant, and Dylan Marteze, candidate legal practitioner, in banking and finance at ENS. South Africa's buy now, pay later, BNPL, sector is facing further scrutiny. The South African Reserve Bank, SARB, has reportedly flagged the risk that the growing use of BNPL products may contribute to household financial stress, particularly where consumers have multiple concurrent repayment obligations. BNPL sits in an uneasy space between payments innovation, consumer credit and financial inclusion, which means that its commercial appeal is often matched by regulatory complexity. It seems that the concern of SARB is not that BNPL is inherently problematic, but rather that it may create risks that look increasingly similar to conventional credit, while parts of the sector may not fall neatly within the current regulatory framework. If a product allows consumers to obtain goods or services immediately and defer payment over time, then the question will inevitably arise whether it should continue to be treated as something meaningfully distinct from more traditional forms of credit, particularly where consumers may hold multiple facilities at once. The industry response matters too. Local BNPL providers are defending the model on the basis that responsible affordability assessments, spending limits, credit bureau reporting, fixed repayment schedules and merchant-funded economics distinguish BNPL from revolving credit. A short-term, fixed installment product with no compounding interest and clear upfront repayment terms is not the same as a long-term revolving credit line. In substance, many BNPL products are positioned less as open-ended borrowing tools and more as cash flow management products. But that distinction may not end the debate. Regulators are generally concerned with economic function as much as product design. The fact that BNPL providers do not primarily earn revenue from consumer interest, but instead from merchant transaction fees, may reduce some of the traditional incentives associated with consumer debt. It does not, however, eliminate regulatory concerns about overcommitment, affordability, visibility of multiple concurrent obligations, or the adequacy of consumer safeguards. The SARB's concern seems to be that if there is no comprehensive, centralized reporting of BNPL activity, it becomes harder to assess the sector's overall impact on household financial resilience or financial stability. The current debate may be less about whether BNPL should exist, and more about whether the available data, reporting standards and legal framework are sufficient for a product category that is clearly growing. This has important consequences for fintech. Products that start out as payment innovations may at first attract a lighter regulatory touch, but as the market grows, more difficult questions follow. Whether affordability assessments are sufficiently robust, whether bureau reporting is consistent across the market, whether consumers understand the accumulation risk of multiple facilities and whether existing consumer protection rules are adequate for the product as actually used in practice. The reported responses from BNPL providers, not only in South Africa, but also in other jurisdictions, suggest that the sector is not averse to regulation. On the contrary, there is every indication that market participants are engaging actively on affordability, bureau reporting and appropriate regulation. One must guard against adopting a regulatory framework that is too restrictive so that it undermines financial inclusion and product innovation. One must guard against using a sledgehammer to crack a nut. The challenge is to reconcile responsible lending with access to credit. The likely path is not binary. The South African debate may move toward a more tailored form of oversight, one that recognizes the ways in which responsible BNPL differs from revolving credit, but also insists on stronger transparency, better reporting and clearer consumer protection where the product creates similar financial stresses. That would be consistent with a broader pattern in fintech regulation. Innovation is welcomed, but only for so long as the legal framework can still explain what the product is, how it is used, and where the risk ultimately sits. BNPL is no longer just a checkout feature. It is becoming a regulatory category that demands closer scrutiny. For fintech businesses in this space, the key question is not only whether the model works commercially, but whether the governance, data, Affordability processes and regulatory approach behind the model will hold up as scrutiny intensifies. Ends. Author. At Angela Itzikowitz. ENS Plus Posts. Bio at Angela Itzikowitz. ENS. Telecoms, Fintech and the Emerging Trust Layer of the Digital Economy at Angela Itzikowitz. ENS. When enforcement overreaches, what a recent FICA judgment means for sanctions at Angela Itzikowitz, ENS. Location, compliance. Inside the FIC's Draft Directive 10. At Ira Gunning, ENS Plus Posts. Bio at Ira Gunning, ENS. Telecoms, Fintech and the Emerging Trust Layer of the Digital Economy at Ira Gunning, ENS. When enforcement overreaches, what a recent FICA judgment means for sanctions at Ira Gunning, ENS. Data Privacy Day. An African perspective. Turning responsibility into competitive advantage at Ira Gunning, ENS. Location, compliance. Inside the FIC's Draft Directive 10 at Ira Gunning, ENS. Unlocking pseudonymization. What EDPS versus SRB means for South African responsible parties under POPIAA at Ira Gunning, ENS. Information regulator cracks down on outdated PAIA request forms. What every information officer needs to know at Ira Gunning, ENS. Justice clicked. Landmark cybercrime conviction shakes South Africa's digital underworld. At Dylan Marteze, ENS Plus Posts. Bio at Dylan Marteze, ENS. When enforcement overreaches, what a recent FICA judgment means for sanctions. Share on your socials.